Good evening, and welcome to Dan Bain's Sleepy Time Mumbles, a podcast you can miss. I'm Dan Bain, and every episode I improvise a low-stakes podcast for you to fall asleep to. Before I begin this week's episode, I'd like to extend my thanks and gratitude to those of you who have subscribed to the podcast in order to get access to every episode ever. I really appreciate it. And it's certainly helping to offset my expenses. Sincerely, thank you. If you'd like to help the show out, but feel like you can't commit to subscribing, that's fine. I understand that. You could rate and review it wherever you're listening to it. That does you no harm, and me a world of good. But not now. That can wait. For now, put down your phone, turn off your screens, and close your eyes. Now it's time to be mumbled to sleep. Season 4, Episode 9, Kid A from Memory. Kid A is Radiohead's fourth studio album after Pablo Honey, The Bends, and OK Computer. It was released in, 2001. Maybe 2000. I'm not going to say I'm less familiar with this album, because I am very familiar with it. However, there are several things that mean that my attempt to review it from memory may be challenged. One, the first two of these that I did, The Bends and OK Computer, were albums that met me at, I believe, 14 and 17, something like that. And that's just a little more impactful. Also, this album was very quickly followed up by its companion piece, Amnesiac, and the two of them kind of blur together for me, especially because they are kind of distorted mirror reflections of each other. There's a... you can feel a unusual symmetry between the two. So, insofar as to say that this will be the most challenging of these that I've done so far. However, I can very clearly remember the first time I listened to this album. For I had gone to the Echo Records midnight opening. That's right, there once was a time where not only did you buy physical music from a physical store, you would sometimes stay up past your bedtime in order to be the very first to have it. I had no expectations of this album. I don't think a single had been released. If there had, it had probably, I assume, Idiotech was the single off this. I don't remember having heard it though. I think I was going in blind. Unlike the Benz, which I purchased already knowing High and Dry and Just, and maybe even having heard the Benz once on the radio. You can hang a listen off that. And of course, by the time I bought OK Computer, Paranoid Android, and Karma Police, and to an extent, No Surprises, were all significant singles. This was, of course, in the time of the music television, and they had videos and whatnot. But I didn't know anything about Kid A that midnight, as I queued and bought a CD and then ventured out into the night with my portable Discman, portable CD player. I guess Discman is a proprietary eponym, isn't it? Belonging to Sony. All portable CD player, all Discman are portable CD players, but not all portable CD players are Discman. Nonetheless, whatever mine was, I think it was JVC, I had it, and I was walking home with my headphones on, and I Met, track one. Everything in its right place, I think it's called. It opens with a unusual time signature, a keyboard chord progression, kind of a electronic piano. Almost a soft piano, electric piano, not like the kind of mellotron sound of Planetalix, for example. And very quickly, I got very excited by this song. I couldn't work out any of the lyrics, but I knew that something fundamental had changed. I remember it finishing and going, oh my gosh, they've done it again. By done it again, of course, I mean reinvented themselves. The rest of the album was not so easy to digest off the top, but I found Everything in Its Right Place very compelling, even though I was pretty sure the lyric was, yesterday I woke up sucking enamel. I don't know what that means, but I also don't know what yesterday I woke up sucking a lemon means, really. Either are as likely as each other. I think what made me kind of lean into this idea that they had done some reinventing was the quite exciting vocal sampling and resampling using a chaos pad to live sample pitch shift kind of on the fly. It was this kind of sense of building into chaos to the point where it almost becomes untenable, and then having the release back into simplicity, I found something quite magical about that. Also, it does panning in the ears. I remember that in my walk home with my headphones on, as the enamel and everything in its right place, bounced from left to right in the stereo field in a very pleasing way. Immediately after that is the titular track, Kid A, which is hard going if your Radiohead sounds like Karma Police. Kid A is hard going. It's a weird kind of music box loop. The vocals are all heavily vocoded and distorted. There's definitely a driving beat underneath it, but there isn't a snare drum. It just goes ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. And it's challenging, particularly on a first listen. There's not a lot to grab onto. I understand that the lyrics were constructed in the very Dada, put lines of dialogue on pieces of paper and pull them out of a hat, which makes some sort of degree of sense of, we've got heads on sticks, you've got ventriloquists, that sort of thing. It's not easy on first go. I think I get it now. But I'd be hard-pressed to look it up, to listen to. Sometimes I get a hankering to listen to something specific, and I can't say I've ever felt that about Kid A from Kid A. Now, next, I believe, is the national anthem. We were back on firm ground here, or certainly firmer ground, because the national anthem is maybe as close as this album gets to rocking out. It starts with an intense fuzz bass line. There are actually drums. There's something to get you, something to get your hands, your mitts on, aren't there? Get your little groovy little hooks into. Fairly straightforward until at the end until that moment, very uncharacteristic full horn section arrives. I don't think there'd been a Radiohead song with horns before, and boy, do they ever turn up. It's honking and discordant. But boy, is it a lot of fun. It feels like a New Orleans street band colliding with a dump truck. And Yeah. It feels like maybe the only song on the album that in 2000 you knew how to dance to. This is followed up by How to Disappear Completely, or possibly How to Disappear Completely and Never Be Found. It's definitely one of those titles. With this as well, you can trace a lineage to a degree. There's definitely some exit music for a film in this track. There's even some High and Dry in the sus chords. It's switching from the major to the suspended fourth. The sus two. It does feel like a Radiohead song. There's also the instrument made. I assume this is one of the only songs that anyone's able to talk about this, but the Ons Martinet, or I don't know, some bizarre old instrument that you pull a ring with a string on it while playing a keyboard. It makes a ghost kind of sound as that kind of wails over the top of a song with acoustic guitar. It's also very string heavy and not really any percussion. Is this the one with the bass line that goes all the way through it, kind of walking around the chord and sometimes more adjacent than on top of? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. It's got a great trick to it in that it stays in quite a conservative range of chords through the whole thing, and then at the end there's a moment of where the whole thing kind of opens up, where they change it just once. It's near the end. It reminds me of the moment in Dunkirk, a film that was to come out many, many years after this. But the moment in Hans Zimmer's score where finally, which has been just relentless and oppressive for the majority of the movie, and then at the moment where the civilian fleet arrives to evacuate them, it just opens up and the sun can actually shine into the music, into the space, into the piece, and the same too with this. You know the moment if you know the song. Lyrically, this one is a little more penetratable. It's a little more, there's some things to hang your hat on. I'm not here, this isn't happening. In a little while I'll be gone. I walk through walls, I float down the Liffey. It's a river in Dublin. In Dublin? I think so. The whole thing is about this kind of feeling of ghostliness, of not being present, and that keyboard on a string over the top really helps emphasize that. It's ghostly, it's got a transparency to it. And then there's a song called Tree Fingers, which is very much a kind of Brian Eno ambient kind of soundscape that goes for a couple of minutes of evolving keyboard pads and very minimal commitment to, say, melody. There are no lyrics, there are no vocals, just tree fingers. I don't know if this was the first kind of, and we see this idea of tree fingers kind of coming back in both The King of Limbs, the album, right? Which I believe has a, which I know I've listened to several times, but I think has a song called The King of Limbs, which may also be instrumental, maybe. I'm not familiar with it particularly. And also, of course, the music video for They're There has lots of long creeping tree stop motion weird imagery. Feels like a starting point of a theme that was going to be explored for quite a while. It's a nice break on the album, but yeah. Then there's the one that has a guitar after that, and it's Optimistic. It's called Optimistic. And it's not I Might Be Wrong, because that's the one on Amnesiac. It's Optimistic. This one's Optimistic. This one went to market. This one just came out of the swamp. This one dropped a payload of fodder for the animals who are living on Animal Farm. You can try the best you can. You can try the best you can. The best you can is good enough. Yeah. I have been known in my time to play a little guitar, pretend to play the piano. I believe this was the only song on this album that I made an attempt to learn at the time. As in drop D. Yeah. A lot of open D and you're running the riffs or yeah, anyway. It's good. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about this track. I really enjoy that, although the imagery on this is, the lyrical imagery is a little more, we're going back, it's becoming a little more impenetrable again. I did still find it really evocative. I love this one just came out of the swamp. This one drops a payload. Fodder for the animals. It's really, I don't know what it's about, but it's cool and it evokes something. Then it goes doodle dee doodle dee dee, which is I don't know what this track is called. Is it called Lost at Sea? Lost at Sea. Don't bother me. Doodle-deedle. This always feels like kind of the second half of Optimistic, almost like it's a coda to it. Like it was the, like they accidentally put a track break. It's called In Limbo. Is it? Yes. And there's lots of this kind of muttering of one lyrical idea while another one kind of runs over the top. And I mean, you see that even in some of the Moonshaped Pool. What's the one I like off that? You know, the one Identikit. Where there's almost two songs kind of going on at the same time. And this feels like an early iteration of that kind of idea. Kind of muttering away about the Irish Sea or something. I got a message I can't read. I got a message. And then over the top, this other kind of trapdoors are open. I spiral down. They're kind of, you're living in a fantasy world. But yeah, all the while this kind of doodle-deedle-doo and then descending line. It's, yeah, complicated. And then Morning Bell. It must be. Morning Bell is, it feels like this album's No Surprises. And it's a kind of a place that Radiohead were really becoming very comfortable in, I think, that kind of pling pling, kind of pretty but sad, pretty but with a bruise, kind of idea. Yeah. But it's got quite this quite mechanical kind of drum machine kind of beat under it. That kind of belies that. You know what I mean. It's kind of the opposite. But yeah, pretty, you know, a pretty keyboard line. I guess about divorce, I'm not too sure. There's a lot of lines about cutting kids in half. So it's divorce or child murder, right? One or other. I can't remember if there's another track between this and the final track of the album. I'm not sure. But the final track of the album is Motion Picture Soundtrack. Which for me continued a tradition of Radiohead really knowing how to end an album. I think it's a spectacular song. All driven by pedal. A pedal with a harmonium organ. You have to pump the bellows to fill it. And it's just sad and pretty and wheezing and melancholy. It's some real peak Radiohead. Yeah. And there's just some incredible choir and kind of shimmering synths that kick in to kind of give what could otherwise feel very terrestrial and heavy and buried to suddenly make that feel ethereal, angelic, heavenly. Lyrically, I think it's one of the strongest pieces on the album as well. Just enough detail to conjure some really specific images. Red wine and cigarettes, how we get back to your arms, cheap sex, sad films, how we get where I belong, stop sending letters always get burned, it's not like the movies, they fill us all with white lies. I'll see you in the next life. I don't need to know exactly what that's about. There's enough information there. for me to make it about myself. That was Season 4, Episode 9 of Sleepy Time Mumbles. Kid A, from memory. Sleepy Time Mumbles is produced by Nurse Octopus. It's created and hosted by me, Dan Bain. Follow the show on your social media of choice, especially if it's Instagram, because that's the one I use the most. Until next time, good night. Sleep tight.